Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report podcast. Today, I'm interviewing my good friend, Dave Donaldson, who is co-founder and CEO of CityServe, which we have covered numerous times on CharismaNews.com. And Dave actually has a podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I've done other podcasts. And today, we're going to get an update about what's happening in the Ukraine, especially as it relates to what CityServe is doing. So you don't want to miss my conversation with Dave Donaldson. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, Dave. Thanks for fitting me in. I know you're on an airplane going over to Eastern Europe all the time, but we found a time because I wanted an update on what's happening. I know that you've been working in the Ukraine really since the war began, and I know that because we did a podcast over Zoom or something like that from the border of the Ukraine the very first week when we didn't know what was going on, but you guys were there meeting a need. And now I found out that you've served over 2.5 million meals. So why don't you update us on what's happening?
Well, first of all, I need to say happy 50th anniversary to you and Joy. What a great accomplishment.
Well, and thank you.
Love you both and joy to be with you again, Steve. Yes, we have continued to move in to every part of Ukraine, working with 1,800 churches, part of the Pentecostal Ukraine Fellowship. And so just returned from spending time in Bucha, you know, where there are the mass graves, Kiev, and then Odessa. And then we traveled over to Moldova, the poorest European nation that is doing a lot to help the refugees.
Well, I've been to the Ukraine several times. It was in the 90s, so that was a long time ago. I know it was right after the fall of communism. And I remember visiting churches, and it seemed to me that the churches were large, at least the ones I visited, and they seemed vibrant. There seemed to be a very strong Pentecostal movement. I've kind of followed the revival that's happened since then. So you had a network of churches that you're able to work with. So instead of just doing aid, you're actually able to help Christians. I know you're helping many people, but just kind of walk us through what your strategy is, what happened when the war started, and what's happened since.
Well, as I mentioned the previous time, we were on the border. It was a tsunami of people, and they were trying to escape the cold, but also predators. In fact, 2 days after we were there, the Polish police arrested 40 suspected traffickers. And wow. You may recall, Steve, I went into a tent where young women, children were hiding out. And I saw this young woman, looked like my daughter. And she had a little baby. I went over, she was crying. And I leaned over to give her a fatherly hug. And as I pulled away, she pulled me towards her. And she said, "Ne zalsele mene," don't leave me. Don't leave me. And that's been our battle cry for CityServe and our partners. We're not leaving. We have moved in, as you mentioned, 2.5 million meals. We've added to that poultry with our great partner, PMI Foods. We now have a sophisticated transportation network all throughout Ukraine, evacuating women, children, the elderly, but also rushing in emergency supplies behind enemy lines. And so, as I mentioned, it was a moving trip. It was a tough trip to go to Bucha with the mass graves and Kiev and then Odessa.
Well, I've been to Odessa as well and Kiev, you know, back in the day. And I remember when the war started, of course, there were bombings. People were being killed. People were also fleeing. It was the women and children, because any able-bodied man of any age had to stay to help defend the country. Of course, Putin seemed to think that the war would be over in a week, and it has, and it's dragged on. I don't think he or the rest of the world expected the Ukrainian people to be as resilient as they've been. But I know that people would drive the women and children to the border, often in Poland, and they would pick up food and supplies, take it back. You know, that was pretty primitive. I know that your distribution system is somewhat more sophisticated now, but these women and children were vulnerable. They often didn't have anyone. I understand that a lot of the churches there in that part of Eastern Europe would take them in, also in Germany. But a lot of these younger women and children were vulnerable to traffickers, you know, for all the reasons we would understand. And so thank you for being there. What do you think is going to happen in the Ukraine?
I believe that Putin, by the way, they don't call him Putin, they call him Putler, you know, Hitler.
Putler, like Putler. Putin and Hitler.
Yeah. I believe that his strategy is to purge Ukraine and move in Russians, and similar to the Alexander the Great strategy and Hitler. And that's what most of the Ukrainian leaders believe as well. And so if I can draw a little picture, though, of my recent trip, because I believe it draws a pretty good picture of what's happening. We started out in Kiev with the bishops, and these are the bishops that are over all of Ukraine, the 1,800 churches, and it's a virtual bunker. You are surrounded by military that have commandeered the building. We're in a conference room strategizing. I'm looking across the table at the bishop over Donbass, in Donbass, which, as you know, most of it is held by the Russians. There are pictures of this bishop. There's a bounty on his head. And there he is, grateful that we are providing vehicles, we're providing food, but we're also providing monthly support for these pastors so they can stay there. Those churches, Steve, are lighthouses to these Ukrainian people. They know if that pastor, that bishop is there and that church is on, they're safe. And they are to stay there. Don't give up their church, their city to Putler. And these are brave men and women. From there, we drove into Kiev. Our driver, he said, I got to tell you that there are Russian snipers. He said, a week ago, a bullet went through the windshield over my shoulder and killed a passenger seated behind me. Oh. Well, that's where I was seated. And then he takes us to the Ukraine hotel, and it's pitch black, and there's nobody in there but us. I mean, it was like Hotel California. You know, you can check in anytime, but never leave. And I go out on the balcony, and just hours later, the sirens are going off, missiles are coming in, and I'm trying to, you know, I felt at peace, and I'm trying to take pictures of it. And they were able to intercept four of the missiles, one dropped miles from where we were staying. Then you try to lay down and get some sleep. 3 hours later, the sirens go off again with incoming missiles. If the sirens go off one time, that means the missiles are coming your direction. If the sirens go off a second time, hide wherever you can, because it's coming to your direction. And so there we are. The next day, we go out for, you know, to eat, and I kid you not, the waitress hands me the bill, and she said, please fill it out right now in case you get killed or something because of these snipers.
Wow.
So I'm filling out the bill, but she's inside. We're outside. They don't even go outside because of these snipers. And so there we are. We then went to Bucha, as I mentioned. That's the mass graves. I can't adequately describe what Bucha's like. It's like a sci-fi film. It's obliterated. And there we are providing these C-train homes. These are homes that have all the amenities. And you're going to see, I saw it, I viewed it this morning. You're going to see one of the most powerful testimonies of the church that you have ever seen, because there you have that charred, burnt out home of this family. They're standing in front of it. But at the same place, the same property, we put in a nice, beautiful home. We dedicated that home. They're all laughing. They're crying. They're celebrating that they're back home in Bucha. And that's what the church can do if we will come together and support this effort.
Well, that's a wonderful story. And, you know, there are a lot of my listeners and viewers who maybe don't know about Dave Donaldson and CityServe. You've done so much in so many places. We've been just talking about the Ukraine, but you and your family, your brothers, have a pretty incredible story going back to childhood. Why don't you just briefly tell us what happened and the result of that experience?
When I was 9 years of age, our dad, he was pastoring here in the Bay Area, in fact, not too far from where I am seated. And he and my mom
That's the Bay Area in California, if people don't know. California.
So I got two older brothers, Hal and Steve, and a younger sister who lives not too far from us here. But we were all in the car because a babysitter didn't arrive, you know. And so my dad was about to take off, and I'll never forget the lights, her headlights, just peering through the back window. And then he told us to get out of the car. So we get out of the car. They take off. And moments later, a drunk driver slides across the divide, hits their car head on, kills our dad. Our mother was flung from the car. Otherwise, she wouldn't have survived, like that one percentile. But they had to pin her back together again. And the community, the whole community, the church, government, corporate, they surrounded us with love and compassion, provided food, clothing, and eventually a family, the Davises, that didn't have a big bank account. They didn't have a big home. They had a single wide trailer. They took us in. And I'll never forget that day when I walked up wondering, would this be another stop along the way? Would they keep us, want us? And as we shuffled inside, Bill Davis gave us a hug and he said, "You are with family and this is your home." And that four-letter word, "with," changed our lives because it meant the Davises were willing to not only share their space, Steve, but they're willing to share our sorrow, our pain, and our anger. And that's what Jesus has done. He left all the glory of heaven to come down here on earth to be with you and me and to share in our struggle. And it was out of that experience we started Convoy of Hope. And it's a reason why I started with some other gentlemen, CityServe, to really help that local church fulfill its mission from what we call the neighborhoods to the nations.
And even your other brother, Steve, is also doing, I'll call it, humanitarian work. So, you know, it's a very inspiring story, but you didn't really emphasize how desperately poor you were, your family. So you've been able to identify, like most Americans can't. You know, thankfully, most people have not had to go through that kind of terrible, terrible trauma, not only of losing your father, but your mother had a long rehabilitation. There was no money. And now, as a result of that, you are helping others. So I think that's just so very, very inspiring. And I know you've had a lot of opportunities to share that story.
Well, where God turns the wounded into wounded healers, if we will allow him. You know, we found something. This was like a few months ago. We were going through a storage unit and we found this metal box. And inside this metal box was a file folder. It was our mom's, and it was in a big box, so it was hidden. And inside that metal box, we found this file folder, and inside is very interesting. It had denial letters from companies where she was trying to get a job after the accident. It's like, why in the world would she keep those? But at the back of that file folder was the tax filing for 3 years where she became one of the lead buyers for Dow Chemical.
Wow.
So that file folder, what a sermon. It was the no's, the denials, but then the yes. And that's what God is calling you and me in the church to say, yes, we want to help. these single moms and their families. We want to make sure these women are protected from these predators. We want to help people find jobs. We want to help the homeless have quality life and living. And in going through that experience, it has helped me, including in Ukraine, to, as I interview people and I hear their stories, I can feel it. I can feel it. And you're going to see more stories come out. I got to tell you one story, though. We were in Moldova, and you can see this online at cityserve.us. And we're there interviewing the bishop, who's over 400 churches. Great man, great leader. We're at a refugee center, and we hear this party happening down the hall. We go down the hall, and this mom, who's from the Donbas area, her city is just obliterated, and she escapes with her children. Her husband's left there fighting, and she's there putting on a birthday party, not only for her son, Edward, but for all of those family members. And I interviewed her. And it is a power. Her response, well, if I'll tell you what, if that doesn't inspire you, nothing will. And she just talks about how grateful she is for the family of God. And I just said to her, thank you for making all of us happy. Incredible. Incredible resolve, these Ukrainian people.
But, you know, each of us in our own way can be aware that there are needs around us. In our local communities, there are people who are hurting, who have tragedies, who don't have enough to eat sometimes. And we need to be aware of that. And also, it's a little bit like they say about missionaries. You know, Jesus said to go into all the world. For most of us, we're not able to do that, but we're able to help those who do. And so most of us cannot fly over there, cannot deliver 2.5 million meals, but we can help. And I'd like to just say that on a personal basis, I give to this ministry. When the war started, you know, a more substantial gift, but also a monthly gift. And this, you know, I don't say this about most people I interview, but I believe in what you're doing. I really do. And I would encourage people who are touched by this, who maybe have never heard of CityServe, they go to your website. You said the name, cityserve.us. But how could people partner with your ministry if they feel so led?
Well, first of all, prayer that this war will end soon. I appreciate Michael W. Smith. He did a video with us. It's actually just came out yesterday. And it's called Cry for Hope. It's a song that God gave him. It's truly inspired. You can see it on our website and on Facebook. And he, in that introduction, he says, we got to jack up our prayers tenfold and really believe that God will intervene because these people are so desperate. You know, we're there with all the bishops in Odessa. And while we're there, one of their pastors is apprehended by the Russians and they don't know where he's at. We need a miracle, Steve. We need a breakthrough. The second is to give, and we will multiply every dollar. And you can donate at cityserve.us. And we're grateful for your support, for Charisma and all the people that have helped really from day one to provide these vans and trucks, which have been critical. And, you know, they cost $25,000. And today we're actually putting three more of those in the Odessa region for these pastors and bishops to used for evacuation, but as I mentioned, to move in food and other supplies where needed most. And then these homes, we're going to be providing these homes all over Ukraine, desperately needed because, you know, many of these people have been in, they've been in safe houses, church safe houses, you know, living in the sanctuaries, auditoriums, or a gym, no privacy. And they've been there for 4 months. And so now we can provide a nice little home. That's only $25,000. So $25,000 for a van, $25,000 for these homes. And that's our priority right now. And we really appreciate the prayers and the financial support.
And we'll be writing about this on charismanews.com. And I encourage my listeners to forward this podcast. If you've been listening this long, you must have be interested in this and have a heart for it. And this is how things go viral. One of our very first podcasts we did on the Ukraine has been shared and listened to over 150,000 times because people are interested in what's happening. And we have to get out the word. The mainstream media covers this a little bit, or certainly from a different perspective, but we've got to do this more from the grassroots level and share this, post it on social media, respond as you feel led, and I'll give you the last word.
Well, Steve, great to be with you and your listeners today. Shimon Peres, you know, the late great Prime Minister of Israel, said, I don't regret any of my dreams. He said, I regret that I didn't dream more. And I would just challenge all of us, let's dream big for the Ukrainian people through our prayers, through our giving, because I believe that God is using this to bring revival to that region and perhaps even throughout Europe. This is one of the greatest moments in our life, perhaps in history, to share the good news in both word and deed.
Very well said, and we'll leave it there. And I'll thank you to my listeners for tuning in to the Strang Report podcast. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.